And it is 3 minutes past 11. On the phone now, I have Dr. Neil Barnard, who is a faculty member of the George Washington University School of Medicine and the president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where he heads a research team investigating scientific issues in nutrition and health. His work revolutionized the dietary approach to type 2 diabetes, and he now does the same for weight loss. Dr. Barnard is the editor-in-chief of the Nutrition Guide for Clinicians, and he has just come out with a book called The Power Foods Diet, the breakthrough plan that traps, tames, and burns calories for easy and permanent weight loss. Good morning, Dr. Barnard.
Well, good morning.
It's great to have you on the phone. You are a New York Times bestseller. I'm thinking you probably didn't set out to do that. You probably just set out because you wanted to be a doctor to improve people's health.
And the fact of the matter is people are suffering with lots of issues, and weight loss is one where, first of all, people want to get rid of excess weight, and their doctor may be saying that they'll be a lot healthier if they do. But you know what? The diets that people often try end up being punishing and disappointing. You know, cut calories, go hungry, and by Wednesday you're ready to eat the sofa. You know, there's a better way. And that's what we found, and so that's the reason for this new initiative.
Well, I love that it's scientific-based and not just, it seems like there's a lot of fad diets out there where maybe they tested it on mice, and one little study says, oh, it showed this, so then everybody, you should do this. And this is a little more in-depth where you have looked at what power foods are and talk about three weight loss breakthroughs that are supported by your research. Would
yes.
you talk about what are those breakthroughs that you have found?
Yes, that's right. What we found is that certain foods actually cause weight loss. Now, that sounds counterintuitive because foods have calories. And so how should eating these foods cause you to lose weight? And they do it in one of three ways. There are certain foods that reduce the appetite naturally. So you're eating dinner, and you're eating what you think is the normal amount. But when we actually measure it in research studies, you're eating substantially less than before because the foods trigger what we would call satiety. So you're not eating until your stomach is just painful. So there are appetite-taming foods that are really effective. The second thing is a peculiar thing that was discovered in 2017 called calorie trapping, that certain foods, as they go down your digestive tract, act sort of like little sponges and carry the calories out with the waste before you can even absorb them. And the third thing is metabolism boosting. There are certain foods that boost metabolism. Now, there has been a lot of scientific study in this area, as you kind of hinted, for a long time. But what really, I think, gave it a lot of respectability was that at Harvard, in 2015, studies of more than 100,000 people revealed that if you ate more of certain specific foods, people would lose substantially more weight as time went on. And so we know what those foods are. We've teased them out and tested them. And so the Power Foods Diet basically says, you may not be a doctor or a scientist. You don't need to know maybe all the last details, but you need to know which the foods are that cause weight loss, how they work, and how you can make them into breakfast and lunches and dinners, or better still, just how to modify your morning French toast or your chili or an evening pasta dish so that it uses the power foods and brings weight loss in a really easy way.
I would like to know, what are some of those taming foods? Because if there's something that I could eat that would make me eat less, that could help, because there's nothing more prevalent in our American diets when people go out to eat is the portion sizes that are so huge. I mean, when I see them, I usually break it up into two or three meals, but a lot of people don't. So what can I use to tame and maybe kind of cut back a little bit?
It's amazing. When the Harvard researchers published the list of foods, let me give you a couple. At the very top of the list of weight loss foods was the modest, unassuming blueberries, strawberries, raspberries. All the berries were there. And the question was, why? And the answer seems to be what we call anthocyanins. Anthocyanins are, that's what makes a blueberry blue. It's the pigment in it, but it's a powerful antioxidant. And so people have been studying it for anti-cancer properties. But researchers in the UK put this to the test, and they did the most amazing thing. They brought in 2,734 identical twins.
Oh.
And they're twin pairs. And so they did DEXA scanning, where you measure the body fat and where it is on your body. And what they found was that the twin who ate the most anthocyanins had substantially less body fat and specifically less abdominal fat.
Really?
Compared to her genetically identical sister. Hmm. And so what we think is happening is that the anthocyanins seem to raise metabolism a little bit, so you burn off weight. But it's not just the blueberry, because we've now found them. There's a relative of the blueberry anthocyanin that's reddish, and it's in strawberries. Hmm. And the blush on a pear, same story. So let's say you're making French toast tomorrow morning. I'm going to say, don't put the 2 tablespoons of butter on top. But you know what I'm talking about. That's kind of the way we always used to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Do put on blueberry syrup. And I'll give you a second one. Cinnamon has an aldehyde compound that stimulates the metabolism as well. So we put a little cinnamon on our French toast. So you kind of take out the glop, put in the power foods, and it's a day and night difference in its effect on body weight. And it works really, really well. With regard to appetite taming in general, foods that are high in fiber, so these are plant foods typically, also high in water, tend to tame the appetite. And one of the simplest experiments was to take apples. Because some people will say, well, it's got sugar, it's got carbohydrate, I'm not going to eat the apple. So they brought in volunteers and said, eat an apple every single day. Or no, add 2 apples. No, add 3 apples every single day.
Wow.
Whatever you're eating, add 3 more apples. You know, who could do that? You think that's just way too much food, so I'm going to gain more weight because I'm eating all this extra food. But it turned out that people didn't gain any weight at all. They started losing weight from this. And the reason was that the apples are high in water, high in fiber, and just high in compounds that kind of cause the appetite to be tamed before it would have otherwise been tamed before. And so people just start losing weight with these things. So our approach is add the power foods as much as you can, and there are lots of them. And people don't know what they are, so I'm going to show you, and we're going to put it into recipes. And my hope is that instead of hurting ourselves with avoiding carbs or limiting calories in punishing ways, we can enjoy food again and solve this problem once and for all.
Well, Dr. Barnard, I can tell you I'd lose weight if I substituted all apples for chocolate that I like so well. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense in that sense, because if I was eating 3 apples a day, I might not be snacking on all the chocolate. So, I mean, is there kind of an exchange there as well?
Yeah, that's right. You know, you're right. And instead of a donut, if we eat the whole, we're going to do better. just kidding. But yes, generally speaking, the more it's fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, the more those are in our diet, the more weight we tend to lose. If you compare, say, a person who's a typical meat eater and a person who follows a totally, say, a vegan diet, no animal products, on average, the vegan weighs about 35 pounds less, just on average. So plant-based foods are better pretty much across the board. However, within that group, potato chips versus a potato, it's very different.
Yeah.
Or whole grain bread versus white bread. They're very different. Those are some simple ones, but we found things, cantaloupe, watermelon, and a number of other foods have specific weight loss properties that we want to take advantage of.
You mentioned something you call sponges that actually kind of are absorbed and take some of the, was it calories or fat, or what is it that it takes out? So if you eat this, it'll actually maybe make you not gain as much because it's not being absorbed in your system. So what sorts of things do that, and how does that work?
Yeah, in 2017 at Tufts University in Boston, researchers brought in 90 people, and half of them got whole grain breads and brown rice. Those are the ones that have the fiber in them, natural fiber. The other half got white bread and white rice. Fiber was gone. And they did something that my research team I don't think is ever going to do. What they did is they actually took stool samples from everybody and sorted out how many calories they were actually excreting rather than absorbing. And the answer was that because the whole grain bread, the brown rice, it has fiber. As you chew up the fiber and it becomes what I'm going to call tiny little sponges that go down your digestive tract. And if you have some unabsorbed calories, some fats or other foods that have a caloric load, the fiber sort of wraps around them like a sponge and carries them out with the waste, and you're literally flushing the calories down the toilet. And The amount isn't huge. It's about 100 calories per day that you're losing from that mechanism. But we've got, we're adding that to the appetite taming, which is about 200 calories a day, and the metabolism boost is another 200 or so. So you put it all together, and it's huge. It's weight loss that is significant and ends up being permanent because you're not hungry at all. You have no desire to overeat and to gain back the weight.
The third thing you said was to increase the body's ability to burn calories for hours after each meal, and you said those are some metabolism-boosting foods. Could you give some examples of that?
Let me give you perhaps, I don't want to say the silliest one, but it's one that a number of people have experienced. If you went to your favorite Mexican restaurant and they put a few extra jalapenos on your burrito, and you find yourself sort of breaking into a sweat, it's not just hot on your tongue. Your body has actually turned on thermogenesis. Oh. In other words, this is the process of turning foods into body heat. And researchers have measured your body temperature, and you can see that a person is actually liberating calories. So that lasts for about an hour after the meal. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that because it's not the most comfortable way to do it. But there have been many other ways with certain spices. Cinnamon does this. Ginger does this as well, but in a more tame way. But the most effective thing, really, is foods that are high in healthy complex carbohydrates. That's things like whole grains, rice, for example, beans, vegetables, fruits. When people bring those into their diet, we measure their metabolism, and it tends to ramp up. If foods are, in contrast, quite fatty, butter or animal fat, that kind of thing, their metabolism doesn't really rise to the same extent. And the more a person does this with the plant-based foods, what we, in our studies, going out to about 14 weeks or so, you can continually improve the metabolism to get better and better and better and better after the meal. So that's good for about a 200 calorie loss per day as well.
Interesting. You know, in this book you have, this new book, it's called The Power Diet Foods, you have a whole bunch of recipes, and they look great to me. I've been a vegetarian for 48 years. So for me, these look like normal things that I would probably have. But for someone who is maybe been a meat eater all their life, they look at this and say, ew, this doesn't look very good. So what do you tell them? Because I think it might be hard to transition to that at maybe when you're older. Because like I said, I've been doing this vegetarian thing since I've been 12. So, you know, for me, it's a way of life. But how do you get people to transition? Because it seems like it might be hard for some folks.
What is hard for people is saying don't eat. What do we do currently with a person who wants to lose weight? They sit down with a dietitian who says, I'm going to cut 500 calories off your diet. Here's your menu. Just eat this. And they're eating tiny portions, and they get miserable, and people quit those diets. Or you say, don't eat any carbs, so you can't have bread, you can't have fruit, you can't have pasta, you can't have a potato, or you feel guilty if you ever do. And that's a mistake, because many of those foods are actually quite healthy foods. With a power foods diet, with this book, when people open it, they are attracted to it. And we've tested this in thousands of people in our research studies, where since the late 1990s, we've been testing a number of foods, and they look at the pictures, and they look at the recipes, and people's mouths water with it. French toast with blueberry syrup, wild blueberry muffins, a veggie lentil soup, or mango dal, or let's say we're going to have a dinner, and you can have pasta. We work with sometimes seriously overweight people who can't believe that we're going to allow them to bring pasta back into their life because they've been avoiding it. Yes, you can have it. Take the ground beef sauce off. Put on my arrabbiata sauce. Arrabbiata, it's Italian for angry, and to a chef it means spicy.
Oh, okay.
It's delicious. And I've got a carrot cake for dessert or brownies and all kinds of things that are absolutely delicious. It doesn't feel like dieting at all. The more you do, the more you lose.
I noticed there's some ingredients here that a lot of people might not be familiar with, and I think that would be an adaptation, like nutritional yeast. That's something. What does that replace, or those kinds of things that might be new to them?
Oh, my goodness. Go to the health food store, and if you can elbow the muscle builders out of the way, they're all in the aisle where they're getting the nutritional yeast. Here's what it's It's yeast, but it's not brewer's yeast or baker's yeast. It's nutritional yeast specifically. And people buy it because it's not only high in protein, but it smells and tastes just like cheese. So what you do is you take your pizza, and people are addicted to pizza. Your average American eats 70,000 calories worth of cheese every year. Yes, they do. 70,000 calories worth of just cheese every single year. And it makes pizza kind of addicting. So make your pizza with extra sauce. Leave the cheese off for now. Put extra sauce on. Put on all the mushrooms and the green peppers and the onions and whatever. But sprinkle on a little bit of nutritional yeast. And you're going to discover that's kind of a nice taste. Mm. That really works really well. And it's got practically no calories at all. So anyway, give it a try. If you don't like it, set it aside. But most people think, I wish I'd heard about this when I was 15, because it's a cool way to bring in the taste without the calories.
Well, that's good to know, because, you know, I've heard about that in the vegetarian diet, use nutritional yeast. I guess I didn't realize it was more kind of a substitute for cheese, because I love cheese. I'm a lacto-ovo-vegetarian, so I do have that part of it. In your diet, do you include things like eggs, or are those out? Because I don't see a lot of meat in here, so that's why I was just curious if...
When people are starting out, you do whatever you want to.
Okay.
But if you want to lose weight, for anybody who really wants to conquer a weight problem once and for all, or let's say you have diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, or any kind of hormonal issue, like for young women, menstrual cramps, or for women at menopause, if you've got hot flashes, let me encourage you to jump in the deep end with me. And what we're going to do is we're going to make a big diet change, because my goal is to cure you of this issue if we can. So in that case, I take a week, and you eat whatever you want, mm-hmm. but we're going to test out the power foods and see which ones you really like the most. Ah. Maybe you like my French toast. Maybe you like my carrot cake. Whatever it is, you find it. I got 120 recipes and tips for people who don't cook. You know, what do you buy in a can? And then after a week, you'll have lots of choices. You'll see the ones you like, because you'll have had a week to test. Now, for the next 3 weeks, hold my hand, we are going to do this together 100%. We're going to eat these healthy foods, and we're going to set aside the things that aren't so good for us. But we're only going to do it for 3 weeks, 21 days, as a test. Mm. And you could do anything as a test. But at the end of that time, two things will have happened. Number one is your body is transforming, and you can feel it. You're losing weight without attempting to limit calories, without increasing your exercise. Your cholesterol is coming down. If you have diabetes, your blood sugar is improving. In fact, it improves so rapidly, you must tell your doctor in advance that you're going to do this, because your doctor is going to need to adjust your medications. But the second thing that happens is your tastes start to transform, and you discover that your taste for fatty foods diminishes, and your taste for healthy foods increases, and you discover cool products and cool foods and new things at restaurants you hadn't noticed were there, and life just really changes. So that's why I encourage people to make a big change, but for a really short period of time, like 3 weeks, and then you can see the power of it, and then you can go from there.
Well, they do say it takes, 21 days or something to form a new habit, so that 3 weeks makes sense to me in that sense. Is that kind of the thought? All right.
Exactly. And if I say to anybody with any kind of habit, for the rest of your life, you'll never have another cigarette, or you'll never have another beer or whatever, that's too daunting. We always keep our low beams on. Here's what I'm going to do this week, or today, or this month. Short term allows us to keep control. And let's say after a month you decided, I've lost enough weight, I don't want to bother with the power foods anymore. I've got a closet full of big clothes, I'm going to grow back into them. You know, whatever you want to do. People are free to make their choices. But so many people are struggling with issues, and we found a solution that is by far the most helpful and the easiest approach to weight loss.
I have a question. There's so many, you see us on television and everywhere, ads and things about things like Ozempic. All you got to do is take this pill and the weight will melt off and you don't have to worry anymore. As a physician, what are your thoughts on things like that?
Ozempic is a synthetic that is designed to be what we call an agonist for GLP-1. And here's what it is. Normally, when you eat food, your digestive tract produces a compound called GLP-1. The GLP-1 goes from your digestive tract through the bloodstream up to your brain to turn down your appetite, because your digestive tract wants to signal to the brain, stop being so hungry, stop feeling hungry because you're eating and I've got all the food that I can control, can handle right now. So GLP-1 is your appetite turn-off switch. It can't be patented because your body makes it. So Novo Nordisk made a synthetic, what we call a GLP-1 agonist, and it's called Wegovy or Ozempic. Mm-hmm. And it's an injection that you take once a week, and it does the same thing. But you can trigger GLP-1 release with food. Now, the Ozempic, the synthetics are quite powerful, and they have a lot of side effects as a result.
Oh.
And so most people quit them within a year, 2 years of using them for various reasons. They're extremely expensive, about $15,600 a year is the current retail price. So in our research, our research team is headed by an endocrinologist named Dr. Hanna Kaliova, and she did an amazing test where she fed people a certain fast food chain's burgers. Mm-hmm. The chain will not be mentioned, but it's the enormous fast food chain that everybody grew up with. And consuming this burger, they got basically no GLP-1 release. Meaty foods really don't do it. You'll eventually feel full with meaty foods, but it's because of stomach stretch more than anything else. She then fed people an entirely plant-based sandwich. And because of the fiber and the complex carbohydrate content, the GLP-1 secretion was huge. It was about similar to some medications. And so the appetite gets turned off with these foods. Bottom line, the medicines do work. They have side effects. They're really expensive. Most people quit them. Mm-hmm. You can do something in the same direction, only more naturally, with food.
Well, when you talked about one of the things that in your power diet foods diet, you said the first thing you said was reduce the appetite with these taming foods. So, I mean, basically, could you do the same thing on your own without a synthetic by using these other taming foods in your diet and include it as a part of your everyday life? Would that be essentially a similar effect? Oh.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we think, why are people having more and more trouble with weight control or as time has gone on? It's partly because they're eating more and more calorie-dense foods. Mm-hmm. Cheese intake has gone way up. But the other thing is we're not eating the foods anymore that cause a natural GLP-1 release the way it used to for our grandparents. Oh. Your grandparents knew what beans were, and beans are a super high-fiber food that triggers GLP-1 release. A kid who's 7 or 8 today wouldn't know a bean if it hit him in the head. And so we now, I mean, they would know a French fry or a cheeseburger or a chicken nugget. And so now if we bring certain foods back that have a natural effect on the body, then you could take advantage of the physiological effects.
What about the gluten thing? You know, I can't eat gluten because I have celiac, but people blame a lot on breads and carbs and that sort of thing. So I'm just curious, is that something? And I love cereal. So I'm just wondering, the gluten thing, is that a problem? Because, you know, people talk about being on a carb-free diet and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, if a person has celiac disease, just for people who don't know what we're talking about, it's effectively an allergy or an immune response to a protein mm-hmm. that's in wheat and barley and rye, and that protein is gluten. And so some people carry it further and say, well, I'm not really allergic to it. I don't have celiac disease, but I'm going to avoid gluten, see if I feel better. And so some people do. Maybe 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 people feels better avoiding gluten. For the rest, it doesn't matter. But carbohydrate is something separate. And carbohydrate, the carbohydrate in fruits or in vegetables or in grains, that's actually really good for the body. That's the body's favorite fuel. However, we could take that innocent whole grain bread or take that potato and we can add toppings that get us in trouble. You take that baked potato as it comes out of the oven.
Yeah.
And we put on butter, sour cream, cheese, bacon bits, and then we say, gee, that baked potato is so fattening. The baked potato has practically no calories, but all those toppings, that's where the calories are hiding.
Sure. Well, when I read this, I love it because I want to try all the recipes in here because it does have some fabulous recipes. And I don't like to cook, though. So that's one thing I always look at. Is it doable? Because some are so complicated. But I think that you really worked hard to make them so they weren't so overwhelming for people like me who aren't a big cook.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. We Dustin Harder and Lindsay S. Nixon are, frankly, in my view, the country's best recipe developers. And the three of us sat down and we figured out what we're going to do. And the decision we made was to split the recipes into three groups. The easy group are the ones that have relatively few ingredients. You're going to be in and out of the kitchen pretty quickly. But then there's another group called convenient. And this is where you're not really doing much of anything. You just assemble some things, or you might say, just tell me to go to the store and tell me which can of split pea soup I need to open up. You know, I'm not going to cook anything. So that's maybe 40% of the patients we see here say, I just really don't want to cook. Fine, we got you covered, including tips for what you eat at Taco Bell, at Subway, at Chipotle, whatever, so that you know which foods are the power foods there. But then we have a third set, which are what we call elegant. The truth is they're pretty easy, too. But what I'll do is I'll take, say, French toast, and I'll say, serve it with a more substantial bread, and put three different berries in little cups around, because when the friends come over to your brunch, you want to impress them. Put a mint leaf on top, a little spray of confectioner's sugar. So we're making them a little extra fancy for people who want to kind of lord it over their friends about how well they're eating.
Dr. Bernard, sadly we are out of time, and I love this topic. It's fascinating, and you do a great job of explaining. We've been talking with Dr. Neil Barnard, who just came out with the Power Foods Diet book. It's called The Breakthrough Plan That Traps, Tames, and Burns Calories for Easy and Permanent Weight Loss. And like I said, it's science-based. I'm a master gardener. Everything we do for gardening is science-based, so I really strongly, you know, encourage that, and I'm glad that you have are doing this. And I want to thank you for your time. How can people find and get the book if they would like to access it?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. The Power Foods Diet is on all the online sellers like Amazon and Target and Barnes & Noble. And frankly, if there's still a bookseller in your neighborhood that still opens its doors in 2024, I hope people will go in and patronize the local business and buy a copy for themselves and a copy to share. And if you make my brownies or my carrot cake, make extra.
Oh, good idea. And also, is there a website where people can find out more information about this research if they want to look more and kind of what it's based on?
Sure. The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine is, the website is pcrm.org.
Great. I want to thank you, Dr. Bernard, for your time, and I look forward to trying some of these recipes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's great talking with you today.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, you know, I don't like to endorse anything, but this looks really good. And, you know, if you don't have to use, like you said, synthetic medicines and chemicals and things, that to me, that's a better idea, kind of like with organic gardening. It's just, that's just my thought. It is 31 after 11. You're listening to A Minnesota Morning on the Maverick KMSU Radio 89.